Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Colm, here's your chance to answer Kurt's question. Go ahead, please.
Well, I guess, you know, if I was allowed to speculate and fantasize, I would speculate that, you know, maybe one of the staffers in the office, Senator Gillibrand's office, may have read Skinwalkers of the Pentagon, because Appendix 2 in the book lays out exactly that same kind of program, and it talks about creating a UAP program to conduct field investigations. It also has a medical department to conduct long-term effects, medical effects, physiological effects, pathological effects. So if I had to sort of fantasize and speculate, I would say, you know, maybe somebody read Skinwalkers of the Pentagon. I also know that the people who were involved, certainly in the early stages of the task force, are some very smart people who are more than aware of some of these more sort of esoteric effects on human beings as it relates to UFOs. So it may be that some of the Senate staffers on the Armed Services Committee or the Senate Intelligence Committee are actually getting briefed by members behind the scenes. And these people actually are giving them the whole picture instead of the sort of the narrow rifle shot of the sensor-driven just performance characteristics of the technology. It may be that, you know, that these staffers, Senate staffers, are getting educated.
I had a follow-up question on something you mentioned earlier. Clearly, this new effort is aware of this and interested. You had studied Skinwalker Ranch for about 6 years before the OSAP program. I think a lot of these things you are already familiar with, but when the Defense Intelligence Agency heard about hitchhikers and orbs, what kind of reaction did they have?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the reports that were coming in were probably disturbing to some people because, you know, from the get-go, as I mentioned earlier, the Defense Intelligence Agency group, the team associated with Dr. Lukaski and his superiors, signed on to looking at human effects. But we did some really rigorous physics analysis, engineering analysis of some of the UFO craft. But at the same time, some of these reports were talking about poltergeist activity and strange stuff happening on Skinwalker Ranch. So we do know that some of the people in the higher levels of Defense Intelligence Agency may have, you know, reacted skittishly to this whole thing, because the program was terminated in December of 2010. There was a lot of political stuff going on at the time. It probably wasn't the only reason. And to my knowledge, the fact that the Defense Intelligence Agency was studying the UFO topic, even the UFO topic simple definition, was disturbing to certain people in the Defense Intelligence Agency also. You know, I mean, that an intelligence agency the size of DIA has a lot of different components, and we were very fortunate to have Dr. Lukaski and his team involved with the genesis of this program. You know, another team may have just said no, absolutely no.
We had a couple of questions from the Paracast Forum, and one of them is about one of the strange things that's been reported from Skinwalker Ranch. So it's about portals that have been described, and some people think that they're an opening to another dimension. So can you describe an instance of where that's been observed and what your thoughts on that are? So that's a question from Richard Hawkins, I should say.
There were two incidents, actually, on Skinwalker Ranch. One happened during the NIDS era and one happened during the OSAP era. So during the NIDS era, and it was reported in the book Hunt for the Skinwalker, two of the investigators were, and this happened in August of 1997, two of the investigators were on a ridge overlooking an area that had been a lot of different activity had happened in this particular area down what was called Homestead 2 on Skinwalker Ranch. And they were just packing up for the night. It was about 2 a.m. in the morning. They were kind of tired. They'd been out there all night. And one of them noticed this kind of dirty yellow light that was down by, it was about 200 feet below them on a track on the property. And so they started looking at it, and it seemed like it was getting bigger. And then so they decided to start unpacking all of the equipment that they had. And one of them took out a pair of Generation 3 night vision binoculars and started looking at this dirty yellow, what looked like a dirty yellow light that was expanding. And through the night vision binoculars, he saw something completely different. What he saw was like a three-dimensional tunnel of light. And through that three-dimensional tunnel, there was something that looked like a humanoid creature was actually crawling through this. It looked like a three-dimensional tunnel. This thing came, crawled through onto the ground outside this three-dimensional tunnel, stood up, and then vanished into the night. Meanwhile, the other guys sitting beside this investigator with the night vision binoculars didn't have the night vision with them. And all he saw was this dirty yellow light that got bigger and bigger and seemed to like expand. But it was nothing that was particularly remarkable. Whereas the guy with the night vision binoculars that was looking in the infrared part of the spectrum saw this completely different tapestry unfolding through him, and it looked like something that was crawling through a tunnel. So after maybe 10, 15 minutes, this dirty yellow light sort of collapsed in on itself and then just dissipated. But these two guys were sitting up on Skinwalker Ridge, absolutely petrified, because whatever had stood up in the night and vanished into the night, they knew was probably in the environment, in the location. So they waited for a long, long time before they started making their way down from the ridge back onto the track so that they could come back to the control center, which was located on the east side of the ranch about a mile away. So that was one occasion where through the use of night vision binoculars, and these were amplification of ambient light technology, so they were capable of seeing into the infrared part of the spectrum up to about 3,000 nanometers. So they were capable of seeing beyond the visible region of the spectrum, which is what the human eye can see. So that's an instance of that something happened that was only visible in night vision, with night vision technology. And it did seem to indicate that something bizarre was happening with this creature crawling through a tunnel. But, you know, there was very little we could do in terms of, putting an interpretation on what had happened. And there's a second incident that happened during the OSAP era that's actually documented in the book in Skinwalkers of the Pentagon. And that goes into when these three military officers were walking along what actually was the same track. And it was all the way down towards Homestead 2. They could see Homestead 2 in the distance. When suddenly the temperature dropped about 15 degrees, like very, very quickly. So they stopped and they couldn't figure out what was going on. They retreated and, the temperature went back to normal. They went forward again. The temperature went down again. So they started proceeding cautiously. But every step they took, they started feeling more and more uneasy. And uneasiness turned into alarm, and alarm turned into fear.
Let's do our break here. We'll continue with that description. from Colm Kelleher. With Colm and Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is the Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and the Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. So, this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You can continue now on this description of this, to me, would be a frightening event.
Yeah, so these three military people had all seen combat in Iraq and Afghanistan. These were people not prone to getting nervous or fearful. They had been in firefights. They knew what the feeling of fear and adrenaline was. But the closer this, the more that they walked towards Homestead 2, the greater the level of fear that they experienced. They got to the stage where all three of them stopped, and they essentially conferred with each other and said, you know, do you feel anything? And they all sort of, all three of them felt this intense level of fear that was close to, you know, panic. And one of these guys had a night vision device with them, and he looked down towards the Homestead 2, and there on the track of Homestead 2 was this area. It was an oval area of blackness that was maybe 10 feet tall. You know, as I said, these night vision devices amplify ambient light. So low levels of ambient light will look like a lot of light. But in the middle of this light, there was this oval area of complete darkness. And, you know, these guys felt this level of fear that went beyond anything that they had experienced during combat. And they decided, you know, to prudently beat a retreat back to the command center, which was about a mile to their east. So they proceeded east, and then, you know, they debriefed. I interviewed two out of the three of them in the ensuing months. And, you know, both of them said that the level of fear that they experienced was beyond the anything that they had ever experienced before. So something through the night vision binoculars that they had seen, that this guy had seen, this oval area seemed to be like a no-go area at that time on the ranch. Because the next day, all three of them decided to walk that same path during the daylight hours, and they walked all the way past Homestead 2, all the way past Homestead 3 to the very western perimeter of Skinwalker Ranch. They didn't feel anything. There was a couple of dogs with them. They just kind of playing around as if nothing was happening. But yet on the previous evening, they had felt fear beyond anything that they had felt in a combat situation. So both of those effects occurred sort of many years, you know, between each other. But both of them had the common effect of looking through night vision binoculars or night vision devices and seeing an awful lot more than the human eye can see.
Yeah, that's a lot to take in. I'm sure that was very far outside what the Defense Intelligence Agency was expecting. Another thing about this loosely connects to Skinwalker Ranch. So I wanted to ask this. This is a question about cattle mutilations, which you mentioned were sometimes found there. Forum member Rusty Shackelford asks about your 2004 book, Brain Trust, which suggested cattle mutilations are part of a covert government program to study mad cow disease or to monitor the progress of it. In the years since the book was published, have you come across any additional information that supports that or either leads you to believe it's something else?
Well, going back to the NIDS era, which was 1996 to 2002, give or take, the NIDS team had a full-time veterinarian on staff. So we were really fortunate that we were able to essentially conduct rapid reaction investigations of cattle mutilations. And we were able to get to animals that had been mutilated sometimes less than 24 hours after the surgery or whatever had taken place. And so we took a lot of samples. We had a lot of chemical analysis. We had a lot of histology analysis, all of that. And so in some situations, we found medical equipment. We found evidences of sedatives in some of the animals, but not all of the animals. I mean, we literally studied dozens of different cattle mutilations over the 6-year period. We had a lot of really good relationships with law enforcement officers in the western part of the United States. Everywhere in Montana and New Mexico and Arizona, California, South Dakota, Washington State, etc. So we were able to get a prize very quickly of a cattle mutilation case. And so, like I said, sometimes we would find evidence that, you know, these were not sort of totally exotic cattle mutilations, but there was a small subset of cases that we encountered that was definitely very weird, very bizarre, and it was not the sort of the cattle mutilations that I'd be describing with, you know, sometimes there were sedatives found in the animals. And we're talking about they were discovered as a result of biochemical analysis of tissues and blood in the animal. From that, the Brain Trust book that I wrote proposed a hypothesis that some cattle mutilations are utilizing the real cattle mutilation phenomenon, which exists, as a sort of a cover for investigation of transmission of infectious entities like viruses or like bacteria or like prions, which are the basis of mad cow disease, in the wild, in the field. It's not the kind of data that you can actually come up with, just by sampling abattoirs and plants where cattle are killed. So the possibility existed that cattle mutilations were being used as a cover for, they were using the real cattle mutilation phenomenon to essentially run a series of tracking experiments. The relationship with cattle mutilations and prion disease has vastly expanded. I should say that the relationship between prion diseases and all known cases of dementia have vastly expanded since I wrote that book in 2004. And now we have multiple different families of dementia that are associated with the prion-like behavior of proteins that give rise to neurodegenerative diseases. And that's everything from Alzheimer's disease all the way out to Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is the human variation of mad cow disease. So long story short is that there has been an explosion of the prion-like behavior in proteins, and the research has all confirmed this since 2004.
Colin, let's break it here and we'll continue that discussion. More to come with Gene. Our special guest co-host is Kurt Collins. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. President Joe Biden on Tuesday ordered a record 50 million barrels of oil released from America's strategic reserve, aiming to bring down gasoline and other costs in coordination with other major energy-consuming nations. On MSNBC, Democrat Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland says it will help, but we need to get off fossil fuels.
Well, it will have an impact. The challenge, of course, is we have to transition off of the fossil fuels to renewable fuels. We need to do that for our economy, we need to do it for our environment.
The South African Medical Association debunked the hysteria over the Omicron COVID variant on Saturday. Angelique Kotze, the chairwoman of the South African Medical Association, now says the new variant known as the Omicron causes unusual but mild symptoms. This is USA Radio News. This week's meeting between five U.S. lawmakers and Taiwan's president, carried out in defiance of China's wishes, bolsters the United States' intentions to stand behind Taiwan against the threat being posed by Beijing, China expert Gordon Chang said on Newsmax.
And if we make a clear commitment to defend Taiwan, if we offer a mutual defense treaty to Taiwan, there will be no war because China will be deterred. There will be war if we are unclear, and that's my great concern.
Meanwhile, Chang said he doesn't know how the Biden administration will respond if Beijing orders a military strike on Taiwan. Outside parties may attempt to exploit the killings at a Christmas parade in Wisconsin, the two U.S. senators who represent the state said in a rare joint statement on Saturday. The exploitation would be for political purposes, Democrat Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican Senator Ron Johnson said. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
I have one question before you continue with that column, and that is, have you, in connection with researching mad cow with cattle mutilations, come into contact with Chris O'Brien?
Yes, we've interacted in the past, and I know Chris O'Brien. I don't know him, but I've read his books. I've been in email contact with him way back in the NIDS era.
We had him as co-host for about a decade on this show.
Ah, small world.
You want to continue with that description before we move on?
Yeah, well, the bottom line is that the ending of NIDS in 2002 really is when the cattle mutilation studies ended. There has not been, to my knowledge, any follow-up research after the NIDS group disbanded into that relationship of cattle mutilations. I mean, cattle mutilations investigations are extremely resource intensive because if you don't have a qualified veterinarian on standing over the animal very quickly after death has occurred, you're essentially wasting your time because decomposition sets in and the whole process obliterates any evidence. Decomposition obliterates any evidence of what has actually happened to bring this animal down. And in the summer, you know, summer months especially, decomposition is extremely rapid. So that's the first point. Second point is, from a cattle mutilation perspective, you know, you've got to have the ability to do chemical analysis. You've got to have the ability to do histology analysis and good forensic investigations. And we were very lucky at National Institute for Discovery Science because we did have those kinds of resources to investigate. So unfortunately, to my knowledge, since the NIDS effort was disbanded, I'm not aware of any other follow-up investigations of cattle mutilations that applied the same level of forensic analysis as the NIDS group did, because that's really the only way of continuing hypothesizing a relationship between dementia, cattle mutilations, and the real, the real sort of activity of groups that may be involved in infectious disease research.
Is there any connection, slight or major, between cattle mutilations and UFOs?
We looked for that relationship. We talked to a lot of the law enforcement people in, you know, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, California. We got descriptions from people of there seemed to be a correlation between unusual lights in the sky and the appearance of these dead cattle. We had a very good relationship with Captain Keith Wolverton, who was deputy sheriff in Montana. He was stationed outside Malmstrom Air Force Base in the late 1970s, and his descriptions of the UFO activity that occurred in the vicinity of Malmstrom Air Force Base, including a lot of activity around the missile, the various missile sites up there, corresponded very closely with a complete epidemic of cattle mutilations that occurred in his jurisdiction in the late 1970s. He said for a three-year period, there were literally dozens of cattle mutilations that seemed to coincide with these, you know, UFOs that were being reported from the Air Force Base. But, you know, correlation doesn't necessarily imply causation. So we were never able to establish a link between the UFO activity and the cattle mutilations. It seemed like they were together in places like, you know, Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana, but we could never actually close that circle.
Have you looked into any of the reports at all where UFOs appear to have some kind of interference factor involving nuclear installations?
Yes, we did do some during the OSAP program. We did investigate some of the cases that were involved in the so-called Northern Tier sightings that were associated with the, you know, the Northern Tier, the Wordsmith Air Force Base, Loring Air Force Base in Maine, Malmstrom Air Force Base, and Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota. And there did seem to be a correlation with some of the interest and some of the activity that was associated with these Northern Tier bases. We actually went all the way to we got a meeting with the Air Force Office of Special Investigations, AFOSI, in Washington, D.C. And that was a first, by the way, because to get in the door of AFOSI is a very difficult thing. And to interact with this this unit of AFOSI called AFOSI-PJ, which is the kind of the special operations unit, and we also interacted with Colonel Barry Hennessy, and all of this is described in the book. Bottom line is that there did seem to be an overlap, even from Colonel Hennessy's perspective, that there were objects seen in the vicinity of these nuclear weapons Air Force bases that were definitely not United States aircraft. They were completely performance-wise and location and activity-wise, they were completely different from anything that the United States had. So there was definitely a correlation we discovered between those. And obviously, I think that the sort of gold standard of the research that's been done in this field was Robert Hastings and the book that he published on UFOs and nukes. I mean, I think the work that he has done has surpassed an awful lot of what has been done in the field.
Well, certainly here, he's someone we've had on the Paracast on several occasions. A lot of fascinating stuff. Now, of course, this takes us back to the Pentagon's UAP Task Force, and now the new agency renamed, which will be hopefully more comprehensive. One of the criticisms I had made of the original task force report is that it treated the UFO as a very localized phenomenon involving just mostly the naval sightings. Of course, we all know there's so much to talk about. We've covered some of it here, and we can do 12 more shows on it. But the question is here, now that we've got this other organization, we've now got the funding that hopefully will come in the next budget, do you expect it to expand? I mean, will the Pentagon admit there are physiological effects?
Well, that's one of the reasons I was very optimistic when I read Senator Gillibrand's amendment. And whether or not that amendment is adopted, obviously, it's going to be subjected to behind closed doors negotiations, etc. But, you know, the wording that's in that amendment specifically, I mean, they actually include the phrase adverse physiological effects. They also include health-related effects. So, I mean, and it also includes conduct field investigations. Those words from where I'm sitting, they mean that they're going to go beyond interviewing F-18 pilots. If the Gillibrand Amendment is adopted and, you know, actually signed into law, there is a possibility, at least, that there will be some attempt to go beyond, you know, taking just sensor-derived, you know, data from F-18s, or even from pilots who are piloting F-18s, or radar data, or using the extensive network of satellite monitoring data that the United States military has.
We've got one more segment with Colm Kelleher. And Gene and Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and going to stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim the credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Colm Kelleher is with us, and folks, I think you know we're going to have him back in the near future. We're covering so many areas of discussion. You never know where we're going to go. I'm going to go with this right here because it is the question everybody asks, and we haven't approached it as a possible solution. Yourself, personally, I'm not going to put you on the spot except a little bit. Do you think that there is an off-world ET connection with UFOs or not?
I think the UFO phenomenon has got progressively more complex. The more resources we throw at it, the more, you know, the more we study it, the more complex it gets. So I do believe that there's an intelligence, that there's a technology that interacts with humans. And I do believe that from some of the data that we've got from the OSOP program, I do believe that there is an area that we could really, I think, study in the future. And that is, you know, what effects psychologically and in terms of human consciousness, what effects do UFOs have over a long period of time? I don't know if we're talking about off-world or if we're talking about, you know, interdimensional or we're talking about any of that stuff. But I do know that UFOs do have profound effects on human physiology and psychology. And, you know, one of the things that we proposed in the book from a physiological perspective is that we are beautifully set up, and all we need is resources, obviously, but we are beautifully set up to actually study from the immune system perspective what effects UFOs have in the short term and the long term. And, you know, the immune system, I studied immunology a while back in my earlier career. The immune system is the perfect information processing organ in the body. And it just happens to be extremely accessible because all you need to do is take a blood sample. And then once you take a blood sample, there is the technology here to really closely deep dive into what cells and what parts of the immune system might be affected in terms of all of the chemistry associated with that. Now, if you combine that with sort of advanced imaging and what effects it might have on the brain, I think you've got a really good handle on looking at the human being as a readout system. And I'm not talking about sort of quote-unquote human experimentation or any of that stuff. I'm talking about fully HIPAA-regulated studies that might shed some light on these deep-dive effects within the human being. And then, conversely, what's happening with the science of human consciousness, and I believe that there's fertile ground with some of the revolutions that are happening with human consciousness in the last 10 years. I mean, I think there's been a tremendous level of advances that we could actually take advantage of, again, given resources in pursuing this. So I think there's a tremendous future in the proper team being mobilized with the proper resources to fully study the impact of this technology on human beings. Because I think that's the bottom line. I mean, you take away human beings from the planet and, I don't know, do UFOs show up? I don't know.
Well, there are some people who believe in the collective unconscious as the answer. But the other question I'm going to ask you, because I have 9 more and Kurt has 36 questions to ask you, probably a lot more, and that is, the theory has been on the part of some people in the UFO field that the government knows a lot of this stuff but just hasn't disclosed it. Going back to the early years, things like Roswell, do you think there was something happening at Roswell, or was it an experiment, a Project Mogul balloon or something like that?
NIDS actually never looked at Roswell. It's kind of interesting, but we tended to focus on cases that were happening in real time. And so we never devoted a lot of resources to looking back and looking into Roswell. So I personally am not in any way an expert on either Roswell or any of these quote-unquote crash retrieval cases that have occurred. So I guess the bottom line is, I don't know, but I can tell you that from discussing these cases with people who are in the various intelligence agencies in the United States government, that there have been massive cleaning efforts as the so-called transition from paper to digital data that has occurred, you know, 10, 20 years ago, has resulted in the destruction of an awful lot of paper data and a lot of relevant paper data that pertains to these topics. So if those records were there, you know, certainly a lot of stuff has gone by the wayside. The other part of this is that, you know, there may have been expertise in various agencies and departments in the United States government back in the 50s and 60s. There's been a tremendous attrition of that expertise over time. And the question is, has it been replaced by the kind of capability that you really need to take a serious look at this topic? From my sort of superficial reactions with these people in various departments in the United States government, I don't know. I would kind of doubt it.
So therefore, it could very well be that they had the secret of the UFOs, but it went into the shredder.
I think that's a possibility that, you know, we can't ignore. I mean, I've been told stories from a number of people in the intelligence agencies, different intelligence agencies, of literally, you know, a very short time period being given to people during this paper transition to digital transition, where there are literally people wheeling down these big garbage trucks down the aisles of these buildings. And people are saying, okay, you've got to get rid of these stuff in the next 36 hours or 48 hours. And so there was not a really sort of very careful way of disposing of a lot of paper records. It was tending to be done on very tight deadlines. So that means that mistakes were made. So some of these records may not still, you know, be in existence.
Well, just think that the Roswell spaceship goes into the recycling facility, never to be seen again. Or the one from Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, where it's placed in Warehouse 13, a dusty old place, and we are never able to see it again. I can almost believe that they know things, and because of military compartmentalization and things like that, possible secrecy. I'm just kind of shooting from the hip here. That really important stuff goes away. So does the government know the secret of the UFOs? You know, it could have been thrown away because nobody put the things together. We're just about out of time, sir. Could you tell our listeners, if they have more interest in what you do, where can they find you?
I'm presently working at Bigelow Institute of Consciousness Studies.
And, of course, this book can be obtained from Amazon and the usual offenders.
Yes, it's mostly obtainable via Amazon because it's basically the easiest way to publish these days.
Right, create space. Skinwalkers at the Pentagon, an insider's account of the government's secret UFO program. Colin Kelleher is one of the co-authors. We hope to have him back in the very near future, and possibly George Knapp and other of the co-authors as well. You can find us on Twitter. If you look for the Paracast, you can also find the Paracast on Facebook. If you want to dig into Facebook, I have kind of mixed feelings about Facebook. We also offer branded merchandise where you have the logos on T-shirts and throw pillows and things like that. For more information, go to theparacast.shop. Once again, that's theparacast.shop. We also offer the Paracast Plus, a special version of the show that's free of the network ads, higher quality audio, higher bit rate, and we also offer the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, where Kurt Collins and I are going to have a lot to say about this episode of the Paracast. You want to tune in? To do that, you got to subscribe. Go to theparacast.plus. Special offer, limited time only. Use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20. You get a 20% discount on the 5-year or lifetime memberships. Theparacast.plus. Colin Kelleher, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Paracast.
It's been a pleasure. Great talking to both of you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.